Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Everybody, happy Wednesday. How's everybody doing today?
All right.
I'm
here, I came out, and I'm going to see what this whole subject is about tonight. I'm excited. Aaron, he always comes up with these concepts that keep us all thinking and on our toes and wondering, and tonight's topic I think is going to bring up some very, very interesting chat. And I can't wait to see where the conversation goes. Hey, Miss Tony.
Hey, boss lady. How you doing this evening?
Oh, man, I miss you, man. They got me over here writing like a Hebrew slave. I can't come up for any air.
I can't wait to see the fruits of your labor. Hey, Lucia. Hey, Devo. How's everybody doing this evening?
Hey.
Today was the baby girl's birthday, wasn't it? No, we started getting everything ready. My baby girl is graduating for everybody out there. She's graduating from high school. So it's just prom graduation. You know, with girls, you got hair, nails, eyebrows, everything associated with looking cute.
Yes. Lord have mercy. That's a blessing.
It is. It's my last one out the house, so I'm excited. She's counting down the hours.
That means I get my book. Cause you told me when baby girl went to college.
Yep.
This is what she said last year.
Because just for y'all who don't know, Miss Tony got a little undercover pin. She said, I got to wait for my baby girl to graduate. And when my baby girl graduates, then I'm going to put something out. So, baby girl graduating, and she on her way out. So, you got the outline together, right? I guess I better get to work.
Yeah, I think you should. Because you're clearly bugging. We're going to be waiting.
Okay, y'all, I'm on record and saying I'm getting the outline together. But anyway, y'all got me all hot under the collar over here. Good evening, everybody. We're going to officially get this show started. My name is Tony, and we are so excited to have you down with us tonight. Like Nene said, this topic, people, I don't know where we're going to go with it. I'm interested to see where everyone is going to say about it. But Writing Royalty is dedicated to joining authors and readers together, creating a community of reading and writing greatness. I'd like to remind everybody, Nene's hard at work over there, pinning those hot releases, but she also has some things out that you can pop right now. Her pen is blazing. She has the P-Trap series 1, 2, and 3, and like she said, she's pinning 4 over there, and if you're on Facebook, you saw that excerpt. She just let our appetite. That was just hot fire right there. She also has the Trust No B series 1, 2, and 3. She shares that title with the one and only Cash Street author. That is an all-time classic to definitely have in your library. And under G Street, she has Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. She's also pinning part 2 over there. And you may have caught that on Facebook also. But keep your sight and eyes open because those releases will be here soon. Now, my silent partner over there, BB. I'm sorry, BB. Steve-O.
Wait a minute. Wait. Tony, yes,
tonight.
I need that for something because I already made a mistake and called him Aaron Capri. I did that on the radio. And now you're going to call him BB?
Then repeat and then repeated it. Like, is it my silent partner over there, BB? I'm sorry, BB. We'll apologize to Bebo later. In the meantime,
so we got Aaron BB Capri.
We got a special guest host tonight, BB. He's going to be filling in.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry, Bebo. But it's all good. That's just love right there.
Oh, my goodness. I am taking over Aaron's whole existence. There will be no more Aaron Bebo. His new name is BB Capri.
Aaron BB Capri.
Exactly.
Aaron BB Capri is in the house.
I'm sorry, Aaron.
Let's not forget the Nene and Aaron Capri show. That was another one. No one really knows about that one except for me and you. That's right.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, partner. My silent partner, Mr. Bebo himself, he's no slouch with his pen. He has Cupid's Assassin and Bebo. I'm actually reading that right now. I started it yesterday, and I'm 10 toes deep in.
All right.
Okay. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm enjoying it right now. I'm actually just looking at it before I got on the air. He has Bunches of Love, which is Cupid's Assassin Part 2. And under the powerhouse of G Street Chronicles, he has I Used to Love Her, my all-time classic, Hip Hop. We're waiting for Part 2 to drop, and that will be soon. Those are some of the hot titles that these two awesome authors have. And right now, because I'm getting a little warm in here, I'm going to kick it over to my partner on the right, Miss Leisha. What's going on, girl? Hey, Miss Tony. Hey, everybody. This is Leisha. This is going to be a hot show today. We got some hot authors coming on. And as usual, Aaron B will come up with one of these topics. Ain't no telling where this show is going to go today. I do want to remind everybody.
I do
want to remind everybody about new releases. You got the Prada Plan for all of you Ashley Antoinette fans. The Prada Plan is available for you to get for the paperback, but it won't be available on Kindle until July 1st. And then we have Forbidden Fruit 4, those Nika Michelle fans. Keep your cyber eyes peeled. I hear it's coming out July 15th. And as usual, it's the summertime. We want to get the kids reading. Author A.K. Henderson has written a wonderful children's book called The Brothers. Family comes first. So get your one-clicks popping, and let's get those kids reading, and let's get out here and read some of these good books that these authors are putting out. Now, Bebo, did you cook today?
Yeah, I actually did. I sure did.
What?
I made something real nice. I made some stroganoff.
Oh. That's okay.
Lucky
that.
A little different. God,
I think we should start a singing group, like all of us, like Nene, BB, Lily, and TT. Like we all should just be like a group.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, the trapettes. We could be the trapettes. Like we could just go.
Oh wow!
Ain't gonna work. No. All right, whatever. I try.
Oh, guys. For all of you Florida people, Aaron Bebo will have a book signing at Books A Million. This will be in Vero Beach, Florida on July the 12th. That's 2006 58th Avenue, and that is a Saturday. The time is from 1 to 3 p.m., so if you're in the Florida area, please go out and check out Mr. Bebo and get that some books he got. He has a lot of hot sellers. I Used to Love Her is his G Street debut book. Good book. Gotta get
people
it.
People need to grab that and stop playing. Part two is about to come.
Uh-oh,
yeah, got to catch up.
Yeah, might want to try that.
And not only that, this Friday too, I'm gonna be, I'm giving out some VIP passes to 10 people to come out and drink and chill with me at Off the Hooker down in Fort Lauderdale. It's gonna be an open bar. Just get at me. So you could just come and drink for free with Aaron Bebo. It's not a game. I'm inviting the people out. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to just be sitting at home in front of the computer trying to get to know me. Like, let's meet each other.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I like to add to Leisha's point about school ending and summer reading. You know, that is like the best time to read. As far as kids, keep them in the library. I love being in the library with my kids. And here in New York City, James Patterson just donated 45,000 books to the New York City kids. So that's keeping reading on the front page. It's so important. Absolutely. That's a good thing.
45,000 books
donated to the New York City schools. That's absolutely fantabulous.
Yes, it is. That's awesome. That's what it's about.
It
like at your youth is where you really fall in love, you know, with reading, where if you're introduced to it properly, like, you never have to worry about it. When my daughter was small, as a matter of fact, like I said, I started reading to her in the hospital. Like, the next day when we were up and I was, you know, doing what I had to do with her, when she was quiet and nursing or whatever, I was reading to her and talking to her, and she could never go to sleep without several books being read to her. When she could, you know, walk, she would walk to her bookshelf, which was filled with books, and get them and bring them to me and sit in my lap, and I had to literally read like 12 of those little tiny books in a row. She would not play, and now I have no problem out of her with reading, with understanding, with expressing herself, with vocabulary, because I've read to her, you know, every day. And I think that if parents spent more time reading to their children, you would have more adults who love to read. That is the most disheartening thing to me when I'm at a book signing and I see a grown person say, oh, no, I don't read. It just makes me cringe. I'm like, what do you mean you don't read? Where are you from? Where do you hail from where they don't read? I don't understand. I don't know what that means. Reading is always essential. You know, in my household, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in the house seeing my mom's read. I think that's where I got it. Plus, like, the way it was, like, with my brother, he was older than it was me then. Like, my little sister came so much later. Like, so it was like I had time, and then, you know, I just seen my mom's read, and I would come in the house, I'd see Man Child in the Promised Land, her face stuck in it. I see Alice Walker. You know what I mean? Like, I would see these. I would see her read and James Baldwin. Like, so I knew, like, yo, okay, read.
Nikki
this is
Giovanni,
it. Coming.
You know, they had some great James Baldwin. He has an excellent book, Wretched of the Earth. Man, that book is phenomenal.
Yo,
you know.
Word the Mother. You know who got a phenomenal book, too? Sister Soldier, that No Disrespect. Everybody be talking about that Coldest Winter Ever.
I've heard a lot about that.
Yo, they better get up on that No Disrespect, yo. She put it down. Especially, I definitely would recommend that to a lot of young black females between the ages of 14 and 30. For real.
Okay.
Like, seriously, that big of a age, you know, reach, like 16 years, like, because it'll really start, maybe you catch these younger females younger, it may prep them to really start, you know, thinking in a point of achievement.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, it's because it's crazy out there right now for our kids.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is.
And if you don't arm them with intelligence, you're pretty much setting them up for failure. You know, if you don't arm them with literacy and mathematics, because that's what makes, you know, the world go round. Like, you have to have, I'm sorry, you have to be able to read, you have to be able to count. or you're going to be behind eight ball your entire life, you know. And it's just great that we're able to be on this journey with readers, with our young readers, our youth readers, you know, older readers. You have a lot of women who are in their 60s, 70s, and some even in their 80s who are reading urban fiction, urban literature, because they want to stay in tune with what's going on. They don't want to be left behind. You know, they want to be, you know, in tune with what their daughters and their granddaughters are into and are reading. So we have, you know, the age range is just phenomenal. But it's good to have that. So we have two great authors to be here tonight, and we're going to speak about reading, but we're also going to talk about this 10 toes down, the bottom.
10 toes down, the bottom bitch. Yo, it's not a game. Like, you know, like y'all keep talking about the topic. Let me tell y'all why I came up with this concept and this topic. Number one, this is our literature show, and as far as I know, from where I know Raquel Williams from, was her debut novel, Bottom Bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when I you know, realized she was coming on the show, I said, okay, well, when we have topics, we try to have something relevant to the guest that's on here. So boom. Immediately, I thought of bottom bitch. I went immediately thought about a bottom bitch, what a bottom bitch is, what she entails, and what's going on today, and people calling themselves and claiming these titles and what they into, and if it really reflects what it is. And then, you know, we got, you know, the brother Damien on. So is really the bottom bitch really come from the perspective of pimping? So we got a brother on, so we can get his perspective as well. So they could both share this time together, and we could talk about something real. And I'm sure with a title like Bottom Bitch, she should be able to relate.
Yeah, and there's so many different dynamics to that, Aaron. Because
that's why I said we're going to talk about a bottom bitch, like, and what it really entails, and you know what's going on with it. What's the outlook on it today, as far as from where the roots of it is, it came from, and you know things transition. So I just, you know, felt like it would be a good topic to explore.
Yeah, I'm excited to see.
I absolutely agree, too.
Go ahead.
And shout out to the WRP reviewers. Actually, Bottom Bitch was reviewed by one of our reviewers, and it received 5 stars. She said that book was the bomb. So if you have not picked up The Bottom Bitch by Raquel Williams, I'm telling you, go and pick it up.
Yeah, you got to be one clicker.
It's very interesting. Oh, yeah, it's very interesting. And it's different. When she did her review, she actually felt, you know, that, see, I can't give the book away, so you're going to have to pick it up. But it's some things when you get to reading it, you'll feel some kind of way about who he's with and how he does things and, you know, how all the women in his life do things. It's very interesting. You got to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just one click.
Good. We'll get to clicking, and we got to be able to talk to them about it the next time, you know, she comes through or whatever. You'll be able to express that or definitely leave your reviews on Amazon, how you feel about it. But we're going to talk about more than just the book aspect of it and what is in her actual book. We're going to talk about the concept and how these titles and things were given. Like Aaron said, coming up from a historical point of, you know, pimps and hoes and different things like that, bringing it up to this modern day bottom B who is holding, you know, these men down in the jailhouse and so forth and so on. So, you know, we're going to talk about all
the and the 10 toes down aspect too, even that has gone through a transition. You know what I mean? Like, Things like I'm gonna speak on that in depth with a lot of different things, because like you know, for instance, I just want to wait till the guests get on because I want other people's opinion. But I could take y'all opinion as well. Like for instance, like you know, people be like 10 toes down. 10 toes down is just basically saying that you real, you solid, you concrete, you 100% into, you know, whatever it is you into. Whatever it may be, it could be whatever it is. You know, you 10 toes down, like you all in. Ain't nothing else. Ain't no other way to walk for you. And once again, like that really, that root of that really came from, you know, some urban street, like some street shit.
Right.
So, like, let me ask y'all now, what do y'all think? This is just something I thought about. Like, what do y'all think about people that be on YouTube or shooting videos or doing interviews or whatever, and they talking about the streets, either what they've done in the streets or things that they experienced, other people's lives, or just things like that. What do you think about that? Is that 10 toes down? No matter what they may have done in the past, when they get in front of that camera, does that pull their feet away from that concrete?
You're saying,
I don't
think
okay. It does. Go ahead,
Nina. I want to make sure I'm clear. You're saying, make it clear. Make it a little more clear for me, Aaron, so I can.
Like, if somebody, if you come from a secret society, like back in the days, I'm talking about way even before the 80s and shit. I'm talking about 60s. Like, the dope man really wasn't the flash guy. Like, the dope man was
right.
The quiet guy.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, he was
mm-hmm.
the quiet type, the root of it, the origin, because it was wrong, you know what I mean? So
right.
The dope man was just the dude out there running around. You're like, hey, I'm the dope man. You knew the dope man because you was getting high. Other than
right.
that, you didn't even really know who the dope man was.
Right.
You feel me? But then it transitioned, and then we start having the dope boy.
Right,
you
right.
You know what I mean? So when the
right.
dope boy jumped on the scene, and it started becoming the chains and the flash and the car and no job all day, but in everybody's face. You know what I mean? Like all this other shit, the game changed. But it was supposed to be quiet.
Right.
So, like, when people take this secret society and then get in front of a camera or whatever to shoot it, even a motherfucker walking down the street with a camera phone shooting some shit that's going on in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it may be, like, are they staying 10 toes down?
I don't know about that because, like you said, I'm from that day, that era, you know, when it wasn't how it is now. And even when you talk to different people from back in the day, or you watch, like I said, I watched that documentary with the real Rick Ross, and he was saying how he did not have any type of flash. He drove some old car. He was there. Everybody said he was pretty much like regular. He had, you know, a beard. He had his hair a certain kind of way. Like, no one really knew that he was the one who was bringing all of that product into the community. But he also had other stuff he did in the community. Like, you know, in our day, our dealers were helping out in the community. So it was a whole different type of flash. Like, they flash was the young boy got to keep going to school. The young boy who liked to play basketball, we got to make sure he got the best kicks on his feet. We got to get behind him. You know what I'm saying? If his tickets got to be sold for the games, you know, I'm going to buy this amount, and I'm going to encourage everybody else to do the same. You know, in summertime when it was trips needed to be taped, they rented out 3-4 buses and brought them into the projects and, you know, put everybody on the bus and took them to the amusement parks and different things in the summertime. So it was a different type of flash. But now these cats are so flashy. They got the diamond this, the gold that, the car this, the car that. Then they want to think somebody has snitched on them. Okay, how about all they got to do is follow the yellow brick road? No one's snitching on you, dummy. You snitching on yourself. Now you jumping out here with all this flash and glitz and glamour and gold, and then you want to wonder how you ended up getting knocked, and now you got to do 25, 35 years. Behind the wall, somebody is snitching. Okay, let me know how that works out for you. I think it's a form of dry snitching on your own self if you're out there like that.
It's
funny that you said that, because my favorite movie is actually American Gangster. In that movie, you know, they talked about that Cintilla fur coat that Frank Lucas had, and he was saying
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he put himself on the grid when he got flashy, and I agree. If you out here and you're doing something you don't have no business doing, if you look like you're 18 years old and you drive a car that look like you shouldn't be driving, you're bringing attention to yourself. If people are like, this is not looking like it should look, you know, and that's true. If you looking just like out of the element, like this is just eyes to see, then you're bringing attention to yourself. I'm not saying it's not people out there snitching, because it probably is. But you do bring attention to yourself when you're doing things that you don't have no business, and then you being flashy and loud, and, you know, a lot of these young kids are disrespectful, they're arrogant.
It's when the dope man became the dope boy. That's when the whole game just got changed. Like, when people start even embracing that concept, like, I'm a dope boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a man's game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, once people started embracing it, it already had got twisted.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm even talking about these people who was in the game, and now they not even in the game no more, and they talking about it. Like, are they staying 10 toes down? When do the underworld come to the surface?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's what I'm,
but
more so to the point of what I'm asking.
Though.
What's the reason?
I think
like,
they
you
talk about it for a reason.
But
because
they were telling niggas to shut up the whole time they was doing it.
That's true, but, you know, I think in life comes growth. But I think in life there comes growth. Everybody grows at some point in time in their life, and normally they never realize a lot of things until they get older. And so when they're younger, they see all this flash and all this and all this, and they have this false realization of what it is until they get older, and they realize, like, dude, I had this and I was doing this and I didn't appreciate what I had, or I should stay doing what I was doing, because go through it to learn. Sometimes they call that school of hard knocks. Sometimes you got to get knocked a couple of times before you realize what was being told to you prior to you stepping into that world. And I think
I
when
totally
they talk
understand
about
that.
It,
I understand the
that's
growth
their
process.
Way of staying firm, though. That's their way of staying firm, planted, like, I'm a man. I made mistakes, or what I did was not right, and I need to let some of these young boys know this is not how you do things. This is not how you want to do things, because this life comes with certain consequences.
But before that, we're not talking about the mentoring part, or, you know, that part. We're talking about before you even get to that point, we're talking about, Where did the switch over happen? Regardless to the you're young and you're trying to find out, because there's plenty of young dope boys who aren't flashy. So not every dope boy in this day and time is flashy and got everybody in their business. So it's not like that's the whole perspective behind it.
Yeah,
it's, that's
exactly.
Not it. We're talking about the thought process and, you know, how it got to that point, you know, besides all the, you know, how you look at it once you've already effed up. Like, we're talking about what was the change in the switch that made dudes go from being 100 to 25% of the of the game. And even with females, you know, females aren't even what they used to be. That term bottom B, it's like, I'm with you until this happened. You know what I'm saying?
First,
I mean, you got riders out there, but you got a whole bunch of people who can't ride. You know, like the day the dude get locked up, he ain't even get a bail hammer. And she's like, you know what, I'm in the bed with your friend. Like, what changed?
For
you
real.
Know what I'm saying? A woman's loyalty, you know what I'm saying, to a man, regardless of, you know what I'm saying, that circumstance. So, yeah, I'm waiting for the guest to get on here. I want to definitely hear what Raquel was thinking when she came up with the concept, you know,
of how
she thinks about that.
It's deep, yo.
Okay.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's deep, for real. Like, it's really deep. Like, you already know, Nene. Like, we talk about this shit. Like,
yeah.
This shit is
we
deep.
We talk about it, and we lived it. That's a whole different perspective versus being on the outside and saying what you think it is. You know what I'm saying? We actually, you know, were there. You know, we're living that. Was, you know, involved in it. So you have a whole different outlook. Versus never really being in the game and trying to understand what's happening, what's going on, and what's the mentality. That's a whole different animal. And really, unless you have actually walked, you know, them dark, gloomy nights and been out there on them dangerous mornings and, you know what I'm saying, all of that, it's really hard to understand. It's like it's like a whole society within society. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, I'm just agreeing with you. Like, it's real. Like,
yeah.
If you ain't really walked that walk, then it's like you really don't know. Like, if you gotta, like, even to the point of just being leery, like, you know, I'm not riding, I'm not even getting in the car with these characters. You know what I mean? Like, for real, just recognizing different things, and it's just being in that, it's just crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, when it's over, is it over to the point of, you know, so it's like the bottom bitch and the 10 toes down and the pimp, even down to the pimp and like the guy who comes in the grove later. But what about all the women that you may have or the family that you may have touched? You know, it's like, it's just crazy. But I believe one of our guests is here, so we're going to bring Raquel in. I see she done lifted up her one, and we're going to get her perspective. Good evening.
Hello, guys. How y'all doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Welcome to the clubhouse. This is Nene Capri. We're happy to have you out here, one of our 2014 Queens of Literature. We got you back in the clubhouse tonight. We're talking about 10 toes down, the bottom bitch. We're trying to definitely find out, you know, what your mentality was, you know, what place your writing came from when you came up with that concept, and really talk about how you feel about, you know, modern day, holding a brother down. Like, what is a bottom B? Could you give us a little bit right quick on how you feel about that?
Okay. As far as my book is like, you know, a lot of people, when the book first came out, they thought it was about, you know, I guess back in the day they used to call the woman the bottom bitch. My book is not really about that, as far about prostitution or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
My book, like I said, I just came up with a title when I was in prison, and it, you know what I'm saying, I was even thinking like, oh my God, it's a different meaning than what everybody's used to. So it's totally something different than that.
Okay.
Yep, I did get a lot of inbox at first, talking about, oh, so you was a bottom bitch or whatever. The book is not about me, and no, the book is not about, I mean, about, you know, like back in the day, bottom bitches or whatever. Okay. It was just, you know, I just call it the bottom bitch because she was holding the man down. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well,
or whatever.
Yeah,
she
mean,
was the woman that he was cheating with.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, she was a side chick, right?
Yeah, she was a side chick.
She was a side chick.
Okay. But she was holding him down.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she did. Yeah, she did that.
Okay. So, what type of characteristics? So, when you went to build this particular character, in your mind, what type of characteristics summarized that this woman was a bottom bitch? Like, what gave her that title, or, you know what I'm saying, that notoriety in your mind when you were making the character?
Okay, because, you know, okay, she knew he was married, mm-hmm. and she still decided, you know, have sex with him, you know, played her position. So, and then when he got locked up, you know, she was there for the visit. She was there setting up people to get him out of prison and stuff like that. So she was definitely riding for him. So, like, she had all the characteristics of a woman that would ride for her man, even though that wasn't her man. But, you know what I'm saying, in her mind, mm-hmm. she was sexing him, so she was riding for him, no matter what.
That's what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Aaron. I know Aaron is bubbling up. Go ahead, Aaron.
No,
go ahead, Aaron. Side chicks is winning. Go ahead, say.
No, I just because
no,
I think mine. That.
Do for the vine. Do
yeah,
for the vine.
Side chicks is definitely winning, but
no,
I just but it's just, I mean. If you think side chicks, tell me how side chicks. Let me tell how side chicks ain't winning. Even according to your book, the main character is a side chick.
But you know what,
like,
though?
Come on, like, you boxed in.
Nah, because that's why
main
I'm
chicks come out
book.
The building. You're surrounded by side chicks.
Listen, I'm writing a book right now. My husband's whore, and that's gonna show that wifey is winning.
Now,
oh,
so what you gonna do?
Right.
You gonna try to put a twist on something that ain't really going on, and hopefully it goes over well. Like, I hope you drop a banger, and people look at it and be like, okay, I can see where she's coming from, but I'm still about to fuck this bitch, man, because that's what it is. Like, side chicks is winning, like.
Well,
so, like,
I'm a wife, so I will never say
I know,
side chicks are winning.
Yeah, you ain't. Come on, who's gonna admit that? You know. The side chick, especially if they marry, what wife is gonna stand up and say, "Yo,
listen.
You know what?" And that's the sad. You know what? That's the sad insecurity in it. because a wife that is secure in her relationship still won't stand up and say that. Like, yo, side chicks ain't women. But I'm straight.
Hey, what?
Like, my relationship
is
straight.
In my relationship, but I'm not going to say side chicks are winning. Do
but
I
how
think,
can
you know?
Not, Raquel, watching
because,
what's going on in the world today.
Because
like,
every side chick ain't winning.
Exactly. It's just that every wife is not winning. Every side chick. If a wife chick just want to settle for a wet ass
or
some money,
y'all tag, you
that's
know what
cool.
Y'all doing? Y'all tagging amateur chicks that's fucking other people, men, as side chicks. I'm talking about, when I say side chicks, I'm talking about a particular type of woman. There's levels to this shit.
Oh, you're
mm-hmm.
right.
Like,
you're right.
Ain't no, everybody ain't no side chick. Like, I'm not talking about Brenda that lives down the street serving up pasta in the projects with five screaming babies that a nigga took coming over there slamming for a couple of hours and he's out. I'm not talking about her.
Okay,
I'm talking about a side chick that's secure like y'all. That man home with his wife right now, and I'm still doing me. When
yeah,
he comes
you're right.
Through,
there are some, but in my
no,
book,
no, no,
you know
no,
what
there's
saying?
A great deal.
And I'm not being biased. You know what I'm saying? I've never been a side chick before because that's just who I am, but I'm not being biased. I've met a lot of women, you know, that are side chicks, and they seem to be winning, but my thing is, how are they really winning when he's home with his wife? You know what I'm saying? She got to wait. She can't see him on
yo,
the holidays.
That shit is like, yo, at
right,
the end of the day, right?
She got to wait.
At the
right.
end of the day, that's like a job. All right, he home with his wife, but doing what hours? Because if he got a job, he belongs to the job for 8 hours. So if he mm-hmm. spent 8 hours at the job, 4 hours with the side chick, and go home and go to sleep next to his wife, I mean, come on, knock it off. Let's stop playing.
Your opinion is your opinion, but
nah.
I mean, I don't see them winning. You know what I'm saying? I just don't.
But if the side chick got everything the wife got, then she's definitely winning.
Exactly, and that's exactly
true.
What's going on.
We ain't talking, and like he said, we're not talking about, you know, little Susie that he met at the
true.
Club.
Exactly.
And maybe he blows him on Wednesdays, or he ain't going to go over there and knock it down. He ain't got to leave no money on the nightstand. Not that type of stuff.
I mean,
that's
some of them are winning,
exactly.
And that's what I said. Terry's
no, a
fair.
Lot
some
of them
are winning.
A lot of them, that's what I'm saying. The real side chick, he really not taking her to the places where he be with wifey. They going on trips to other places.
True.
He having a whole nother experience and a whole nother life with her. Cause
that
that's
is true.
That's the true purpose of her. Because if she going to do mm-hmm. everything, wife, he going to do what the hell he
yeah, what's
her
the point?
For?
You're right.
You know what I mean? So the side chick is winning like, yo, all right. But forget that. Forget the side chick is winning because that's
what?
A whole nother thing.
You are
cause...
passionate about this.
Nah, I'm a realist. Look, listen. I'm not holding up my pom poms for the side chick. I'm just giving a colorful truth. Like I'm looking at the side. I'm looking at what's going on, and I'm seeing how you know women are moving. Like Nene was saying before you came on, women have changed. And when I don't know what she meant when she said that, but when she said it, I took it as like women's values have changed. Like a lot of times, I may ask a question. And when the things that women respond and
that
say,
is true.
I'll be like, yo, what the hell is wrong
because
with
some women now,
these
their
days?
Mentality is worse than a man, you know. Like, some women now just want to have a man to, you know, screw and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Exactly, and that's the side chick. Like, she that's the whole thing. And another reason why the side chick is winning, check the concept. People be quick to say this. This is another thing women say that hate the side chick. They quick to say this. Yeah, well, he just fucking her and leaving. Listen, that's all she want. At the end of the day, she really controlling him. Don't ever get it confused like he's in control of the situation. Like, she's getting what she wants. Because if she wasn't that type of female, she wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah,
so
you're
she's
right.
getting what she wants. She's winning.
Yeah. And then you have wives who spend years in marriage and secretly they want other things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But they'll stay married, you know, because it's the sanctity of the vow and this and that and the third. But they still think that another man's body is sexy and they wonder what he rocking with and could he knock it down and secretly. Have they fantasies, you know.
Who was that giggling? Who was
look
that giggling
fantasy.
Over there?
Was
that Raquel?
Was that Raquel?
Yeah, see? That That's what I'm saying. Right while Nene was saying that, she thought about some dude in the Gap commercial.
No, I'm okay.
She's talking about that
guy from
the billboard, but
I'm definitely
past that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many women are loyal Regan bosses who will tell you, like, they into our book laying next to their man? Like, it's the fantasy.
Yeah.
It's about what they don't have.
Yeah, it's not even saying that a woman going to act on it. But there's no way in hell. And I told the girl, I used to tell women all the time when I was in prison, I'm like, yo, there's no way in hell you in here and you ain't nobody in here you don't like. I used to, come on, knock it off. Mm-hmm. That shit don't even make no sense. There's too many men around. You don't like no, but nobody in here is attractive to you.
Mm-hmm.
Knock it off. Like, come on. Like,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it don't matter if you're mad. Being attracted to somebody don't mean I'm going to end up in bed with you. That just means, like, yo, that's a good-looking woman right there, or that's a handsome man right there. That's not
mm-hmm.
saying, yo, I'm about to jump in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just being honest or just looking at something and something that's attractive to your eye, something that's appealing to your eye.
And Aaron,
like,
Miss Tony got something to say. Go ahead, right quick, then you can rock with it. Go ahead, Miss Tony.
No, I was going to back up on what people said about the side chick that he described. She may not necessarily be advertising that that's what she is because, you know, she doesn't want to be labeled as one. But it's like you said, there's levels to the side chick thing. And it's like the corporate side chick and the street side chick.
Yes.
They're not necessarily advertising that that's what they are. They just
want to
get
it and
move.
And then you have the constant mistress, Miss Tony. You know, when back in our grandparents' days, when you had your grandfather had a whole other family, and the kids
mm-hmm.
knew each other, and the women knew about each other, or maybe not. You never know. Sometimes he had a whole other family on the other side of town, a woman and kids
mm-hmm.
and everything that he shared life with. Maybe they didn't find out to the funeral. We got sisters and brothers that lived two blocks
true.
From the yeah. high school together.
That's true.
Almost dating each other.
It's
still
going on now, though.
The
family from
that's
the other
true.
Side
that's
of the railroad at the bottom of the stairs.
But it was so common, you know what I'm saying, back in the day, and people knew their place. You know, they knew their role. You know, they knew
yes.
that, hey, if I'm had this relationship with this man, I got these kids with this man, I'm not finna go over to his wife's house and show up on the doorstep and kick the door down and scratch the car up. I'm going to be over
mm-hmm.
here playing my role. He paying her bills, her children
yep.
are situated, his children at home are situated. He's taking care of both households. Both women is loyal to him, and it is
mm-hmm.
what it is. But
even
you know,
today, Muslim men have more than one wife. So
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's been like that in cultures from the beginning of time. And we say that all the time. Aaron's going to get me if I go on my slave ship. But like I said, this whole one woman, one man is Americanized philosophy. It is not anything that was practiced on any of the islands or any of the other continents, you know, earlier in time. This is something totally new, you know, to us, you know, in this European society that we live in here in the Americas. It was not nothing that we did. I mean, if you read any of your history books, if you look at any of the Egyptian kings and queens and, you know, the kings and queens from Nigeria, all those different places, everybody had more than one
mm-hmm.
wife. And it's like
that is true.
But only in America they tell you can only have one person for the rest of your life, drop dead with them, and that's it. But you got to suppress all of your desires. You got to suppress your wants and your needs and your desires until you die. You know what I'm saying? You got to take all that to the grave with you. You can't never touch, taste, try, nothing else. Forever, ever, and ever, ever, or you're going to burn in hell, so they say. But, hey,
wow.
I ain't the judge. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, this is your host, DJ Capri, and that was our Nene Tubman segment of the show.
Whatever, Aaron.
I'm about to jump into this tune of ours.
Okay.
So I don't see our other guests. And when I get back, I want to get all you ladies, I want to get all you ladies' take on this right here. This is something kind of deep.
Let's go.
It's going to be a monster, man.
Jeez.
We're going to get back to be a monster.
Ever since I was 13, my biggest problem has been just to find the right road to get to that rainbow that everybody talks about. And like most people get close enough to count the stripes, but they don't have enough guts to reach out and take that pot of gold.
And what are you going to do?
I'm going to walk off with the whole pot.
You going to share that with anyone?
There's a possibility I might share it with a little lady I just met who calls herself Diane. It's not going to be easy, though, baby. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard work.
I really have a lot of good feelings. I know when I first saw you, I just wanted to touch you and hold you. And there's an incredible excitement about you. You've been very powerful.
Yeah, I had those good feelings about you when I first saw you.
So where do we go from here?
We go all the way to the top if you're not afraid. Everything's gonna be all right. I'm gonna be everything to you. I'm gonna be your father. I'm gonna be your friend. I'm gonna be your lover. But you gotta believe in me. You gotta believe that everything I tell you to do is for the best. For both of us. It's toast to what we're getting into.
We're going to the top if you're not afraid. He said, I want to be your father, your brother, your lover. I want to be your friend, baby.
That was
That's how they be laying it down. Aaron, they be laying that back game down like that. I want to be your lover, your friend.
Shit, I don't know. What are you talking about, Aaron? I don't know how they be laying no back game down. Yeah. That was courtesy of Max Julian. The Mac. The true Mac.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just hosting the show. Like,
Aaron's like, what? I don't know how that all happened. But you know what? It does happen. You have a lot of women who, you know what I'm saying, they in it 10 toes down because of what, you know what I'm saying, they was promised or... You know what I'm saying? Told or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So,
they paint the pretty. With the character in your book, Raquel, I mean, when she was going through this with this guy, knowing what he was into, like, to what extent was you developing her character? Was there ever a pause button? Was there ever a stop button? Or was she just really out of control with it?
I mean, she was really out of control with it in my book. I mean, you know, she went through the emotions some days, like, I don't want to do this. You know what I'm saying? I deserve better. But then as soon as he came over and gave her some, you know, whatever, and mm-hmm. threw some money at her, she was back loving him again. So, mm-hmm. I mean, she went through, you know what I'm saying, she even almost got killed trying to ride for this dude.
Mm. All right, let me ask you a question. Where did you get that concept at to develop a female like that?
I watch a lot of Lifetime, so I mean, I don't know. My mind is crazy.
That didn't sound like you was going in the Lifetime direction at first.
Sounded like you was about to take us to the right direction. First of all, switch channels real quick. Let me tell you, first of all, I lived a lot of life before I was an author.
Hold on, I'm
not going to even front. Let's keep it 100. I was always a wife, but I was the crazy wife. See, I was the crazy wife that caught a lot of assault charges, so I was never the side chick that was doing all that. You know what I'm saying? I was getting locked up trying to bust the side chick in the head.
Your experience came from dealing with the side chick. Okay, so let's go to... let's go to a hypothetical, realistic. You caught your husband with a side chick. Like, just run us through a scenario real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, after the funeral.
Well, obviously it wasn't no funeral because she said side chicks. So, I mean, she was
no,
doing whatever
but see,
she
was
doing
okay, let's
and back, then loving him
talking,
back.
I was talking about my kid's father. Now I'm married, but that's, you know what I'm saying, I'm good now.
Okay,
in my 20s, with my baby's father,
take us to
my baby's father,
scenes. Yes.
I got on the bus. I found out he was cheating with a chick in Virginia. I got on the bus from New York and went down there. And we fought. So, like I said, I was a crazy baby mama.
Hold up. You got on a bus and went to this girl's state and city to fight
her? Yeah,
out.
She kept playing on my phone telling me they sleeping together. I didn't even know about her. So, yeah.
Well, was she playing when you got there? Were they sleeping together?
Yeah, they were sleeping together, but
she
was playing on my
playing
phone.
Then.
Listen, I was in my 20s. I was crazy, and yeah, I went down there.
Oh,
that's,
he just wanted
that's
to take Raquel
where,
to get on the bus and come
that's
down there.
That's where the character development. That's where the character development for Bottom Bitch came from.
Nah, this sort of something different. I'm just saying, in my 20s, I went through my share of stuff, you know, 21, 22, I did, you know what I'm saying, my share of drama with the man and all of that, so I definitely knew how, you know what I'm saying, when chicks sleeping with your man and all of that, how they play on your phone, so a lot of that I did put into my book, you know, when I was talking about the girl calling the wife's phone and playing and saying, oh, we sleeping together and all of that, you know what I'm saying, so, I mean... Now I'm grown now. I'm 30-something, so that's in the past.
All right, so let me ask you a question. When you was writing this book, let's just forget the book for a second. Let's go back to this real-life situation. You in this situation with this. Did you ever sit back, like, exhausted with the situation, but at the same time think about, did you ever find yourself thinking, like, yo, this other female might love this motherfucker's lies as much as me. Like, it's not even her fault.
I mean, yes.
Nah.
I did.
Nisha,
you know
nobody's talking about you and your marriage. You're talking to Raquel and her side chick with you.
I mean, at one point, I even had a conversation with her. You know what I'm saying? I sit down, like, we had a conversation after we done fought, like, 100 times or whatever. I did have a conversation with her. And then after the conversation, you know, like, she loved him. Like, you know, he took her virginity, so she was more into it. I thought I had it bad. Like, she had it bad, too. You know what I'm saying? So since I was the older one, because she was younger than me, you know what I'm saying, I got up one day, and I walked away from the situation, you know, and it hurt so much. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I spent 2 weeks on the couch crying, but them 2 weeks, I did not call him. I didn't do anything. For them 2 weeks, I prayed to God for strength. Like, I just, you know, like, you know when somebody on drugs, when they're going through withdrawal, I stayed on my couch for 2 weeks and had, like, a whole withdrawal process.
Yo,
and
I'm
after that,
see you now, yo. Not on the couch, but before you and Shorty talk. Like, yo, I don't give a damn how old this bitch is. When I see her, stop the car.
But you know what, Aaron? I want to talk about that some more. But take that caller. Take that 703 right quick, Aaron. Let that caller in. And we got to get back to that. I got some things I want to say about that. Go ahead and bring the caller in. So.
Okay, 703, good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew and Raquel Williams. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, it's Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Hi,
what's
Kathleen.
Good? Hey, Kathleen.
I love you.
Hey, I love y'all too. Hi, Aaron. What's happening? I just went on Facebook and saw y'all were on. I said, let me call them. Is that an answer?
Yeah, we here.
I see. Hi, Raquel.
Hey, babe.
I'm waiting to go to your country.
I know. Have fun.
Jamaica, yes. Here I come. But anyway, I just called to give out my support to y'all. Y'all know I love y'all.
Yes,
thank you. Love
you.
And Nene, I got you and Raquel.
Okay, thanks,
babe. All right.
I'm getting tainted in the memoir book, okay?
Okay.
And you know I'm going to get you, too.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate you. I appreciate the love all the time. Like it's
all the time. Okay, babies, I love you. I'm gonna let y'all go.
Have a good evening. Have a safe to work.
All right, y'all have a blessed night.
Likewise.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye bye.
She's so sweet.
Yes, she
indeed.
Is.
We got another caller too.
Go right
they
ahead.
They know we live now. See, that's what it is. They know we live before. Thank you, Kathleen. Another shout to Kathleen for letting them know we was really here.
Yes.
804. Good evening. We are you are live with the Writing Royalty crew and Raquel Williams. Who are we speaking with?
This is Stacey Thomas again. I'm the one of the authors under Raquel. How's everybody doing?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Stacey Thomas, you called a sarge last week.
That's right, that's yes. a sergeant.
Yeah, we
yes.
never forget a face around here.
Anyways, interesting conversation. I just want to show support for Raquel, and I'm listening and enjoying myself, everybody.
Okay,
well,
you got it.
Thank you, love.
On the bottom bitch.
AC.
Or what you think of bottom bitches?
Say that again, Aaron.
Do you have any input on the bottom bitch situation or anything we done spoke about, you know, thus far? Or what, you know, what do you think of bottom bitches or, you know, being 10 toes down?
I talk too much, Aaron. I'm just going to listen. I agree with you.
Ah, listen. We like talkers. We like to get you off the line if you don't talk. If you don't talk, when we start hearing gaps in the air, as we be like, all right, thanks for calling in. See you later, boom. We just.
No.
I mean, but you really got something to say?
The only thing is, I understand exactly what Raquel is writing about. And I also agree, you know, people want to always put the side chick down. I'm not glorifying the side chick, but say what you want. She can love your man just as much as you love him. May not be the same type of love. And this is just the one thing. See, I talk too much. This is the one thing. Everybody want to say how that wife is number one. Nobody's number one if he's spending most of his time with the other woman and all she got is the insurance policy and the mortgage.
Talk now.
See,
say
you
what
know,
you got to say now.
You know what? I know why you ain't want to say nothing, but you stay here. This side chick country. You in side chick territory.
No,
you can go ahead and say the side chick is winning.
No, I'm not saying she's winning. I don't think anybody's winning when you got two serious women fighting for one man.
The man is winning.
See, y'all keep thinking that.
Right. He's going through some stress too now. Don't think he ain't going through some stress. He got some stress too.
The man is definitely not winning because the man trying to juggle two females is out of control. He is so tired. First is cool for like the first 8 months. Then that shit is like, yo, this shit is like an old, this is a laundry list without my clothes in it.
You said that's a long eight months. So you've been there, done that. So you know that it's a lot of work.
It's not that I know. I just know from just being not even having side chicks when I was young, just dealing with different chicks and just running around. That shit is whack. Like, it's too much, yo.
Why bother?
No, I'm not saying, go out there and get a side chick. I'm just stating the truth. Side chicks are winning. Just because I'm not saying the men go out there and get a side chick. All I'm saying is side chicks are winning. They getting what they want out the situation. Once they do, because it's the side chick. A female that's not about that is not about to be dealing with that. Like, she ain't going to be like, yo, oh, you got a wife? Okay, I'm cool with that. It's just me and you doing whatever we're doing. I'm cool with that. You ain't got to worry about me trying to contact your wife. I don't want to meet your kids. I don't want to know where you and her stay. I don't even want to talk about her. When you come over here, this is me and your time. We're going to do what we want to do. And when it happens like that, that's the true side chick. All that throwing a brick through the chick window and, yo, calling your girlfriend at 3 in the morning, like, let's go pour sugar in this broad tank and all that other. Like, that ain't the side chick. That's a nuisance. That's somebody that something got tangled up with. So that's two different things right there going on. That's two different things. Like, it's like, seriously, the side chick don't even want to know nothing about your wife. Because the real side chick, if she catch herself asking too much about her wife, she going to realize the insecurity in that right there, that she not doing her job. How is she talking? And if you're talking about your wife, she's not doing her job. So, like, she's a true side chick, knows her role to a T. I'm not talking about these amateurs that's out there sleeping with people, men. I keep saying that. It's a big difference. Just because somebody's sleeping with somebody, man, it's like, yeah, and his side chick, people done started throwing that title around like it don't mean nothing. Like, no, she ain't the side chick. He's the chick he was fucking at his job. It's a big difference.
Aaron, go ahead and grab that 404 for me.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Stacey.
So sweet. She
have
got
a good
going.
Night.
You too, Precious.
Yes.
Get that 404 for me,
Aaron. I got 404. You are live in person.
Hello, everyone. This is Kiara. How are you all doing?
Hello,
hi, Kiara.
Kiara.
Hey, Kiara. How are you?
Hi, Kiara.
Doing pretty good. Thanks a lot for asking. I was calling because I have a question and a comment. I grew up in a time where a bottom bitch was a prostitute, actually, so this side chick business is all new to me. But what I wanted to ask was, do you all feel that the controversy and the reaction surrounding the titles that have the bitch word in them is being blown entirely out of proportion?
Yes, I do. This is Nene Capri.
Hey,
yes, Nene,
how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. You know, definitely being an author who has a book that has a title with bitch in it, you know, one of the first, as a matter of fact, and then seeing, you know, a lot of things developing after it, I do think that is overrated, and I do think that the definition that people put behind it also gets distorted or tainted or what so have you. I think that women take that name as a position and then try to get an attitude to affix to it, and that think from insecurities and lack of certain things in your own personal character and development. And I think that they take that word bitch as like some type of title to have more strength than they actually do have. But I think when they're alone by themselves, there's no woman who actually wants to be a bitch, whether you at the bottom or the top.
That's true. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's been blown out of proportion. I've seen posts on Facebook miles long with people going back and forth about how derogatory it is and how, you know, it's defaming people's character and whatnot. But if you go outside, you hear women calling each other bitch all the time, and they use it as a term of endearment. I feel it's all about how you perceive yourself.
Right.
Heck
yeah, even with the word hoe, like you couldn't be caught dead. Somebody called you a hoe. Somebody called you a hoe in my day. I mean, you was the lowest thing ever. Like you had better not. But now it's like you ain't no hoe. It's like they looking at you like you some type of special science project. They're like, you don't do such and such. You ain't no. You know what I'm saying? It's like a badge of honor. You know, people try to out hoe each other. They're like, oh, that's what you did. I'm gonna do you one better. You know what I'm saying?
For real.
I appreciate you answering my question. Y'all have a good evening. I'm going to still be listening in.
Okay.
Yes,
thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Aaron, get that 985.
Yes, I see it. 985, good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew.
Hello,
and Raquel
everybody.
Williams. Hello. Who are we speaking with?
Embryo.
Hi, Embryo.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, everybody doing?
Hello.
Good.
I just called to show my publisher some support and everybody else on the air, you know?
Thank you for calling in.
Hi.
Did you want to weigh in on the subject or you just want to show some love?
If I weigh in on the subject, it ain't going to go detour.
We appreciate and respect a good detour.
Right.
That's how we roll around here.
She's getting sidetracked, but you're still good because we can understand it. We hug them too. It's like church.
You know what?
We hug sinners too.
But thank you so much for calling in, Precious.
Thank you, Amelia.
Yes, this is, right, this, this is your house too. So let us know when you got something hot to drop so we can
she
speak
do.
To you.
I'm going to try to schedule her. Her book just hit number one on Amazon, Secrets of a Cat Bitch. So
okay.
I'll inbox y'all.
Secrets
try to get on the
of a Cat Bitch?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Cat Bitch, Secrets of a Cat Bitch.
What are you saying?
Like, there's got to be some type of pimping going on in there somewhere.
You know what, Erin.
Secrets of a Cat
what?
Bitch. Bottom bitch and trust no bitch. I mean, it's
yes.
just.
Yes.
Let's go.
This is the thing, because a bitch does not have to be a female. A bitch can be a male as well.
All the time.
Yes. Although,
it ain't got to be
you have a lot of male bitches.
He can be a male
hold
as well.
Hold on, hold
some
on.
Some of these
male
act like bitches.
On.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you something. I was just telling a friend of mine just the other day. This is real. You know why women are saying that men are acting like bitches now? You know why you keep hearing women say that now more and more these days? Because men are finally giving women exactly what they've been asking for years. They're communicating their emotions and thoughts, and now women are seeing how they sound. They're looking at it. Like, they seeing how they sound to us. And they're like, this nigga sound like a bitch. Because now it's like, yo, now this nigga's sharing his emotions. He's opening up. He's being opinionated because social media done popped out.
Yeah.
He's living that shit at home. So now women are looking like, yo.
Yeah, I don't like it.
This bitch-ass nigga.
No, some of these men gossip more than women.
Yes. That's why we talk about that 10 toes down. They're not what it used to be. It is
exactly.
not what it used to be.
Yes. Back
and
in the day, men never used to gossip, but now they'll screenshot everything. Go check this, go check that. They're worse than the females.
Yes, they wouldn't even be around gossip. In our day, when women got to cackling in the kitchen, the men was out of there. They was out of there somewhere
exactly.
to go watch some sports
mm-hmm.
or do something. Nowadays, the dudes got more information than the women. You'd be like, baby, did you know so-and-so?
Yes.
He said, man, get out of here. No, he's sleeping with so-and-so and so-and-so, too. You like, damn, nigga, where you was at? The nail shop? You know what I mean? Where you get that information from?
Yeah.
Hanging out down there getting his pedicure, gossiping with the Korean ladies. Where they do that at?
You be wanting to go upside their head like, nigga, shut up.
Yeah, I mean, it do be getting overwhelming, but that's really what's happening. Like, females done push men to the limit, like, all right, man, you want me to start telling you what's on my mind? Here it is. You know what I mean? And now women is like, yo, this is the type of shit I be on. Like, damn, am I in a relationship with a bitch? My girl. I just came from my girl's house. We was talking about this shit for 3.5 hours. I got to come home to another love and hip-hop conversation.
Yes.
I'm about to start an argument with this nigga.
Yes, it's the truth. It's
for real.
It is no loyalty. Like, dudes
mm-mm.
are not loyal like they used to be. To their own friends. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's true.
There's no loyalty. I mean, it's like, a lot of times, dudes are self-sabotage. Like, he'll go and try to, you know, rat his dude out to the girlfriend and let something slip
mm-hmm.
out so that she will know. You know what I'm saying? On some little hater type stuff. Like, real talk. Just real girl.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
mm-hmm.
get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
then they want you to respect
that.
Then
he don't want what his boy got. He just can't help himself. He just got into a habit of talking too damn much.
And not
and
only
then,
that, right
they have
now,
the nerve to say,
you don't respect me.
I gotta kind of agree with
Alicia on that one. Like, right now is the easiest time to set niggas up with a chick. Niggas be just so diving out the window for these females, yo. It's not even funny, yo.
Go ahead,
a nigga be like, open their whole diary up to these females and knew them 5 minutes.
Did
you
say they hold
on? For real, y'all. Like, seriously,
ATM
y'all.
Card and everything.
See, these niggas, they be their best friends. Like, y'all, yeah, I'm about to tell you about how this shit, like, come on, man, knock it off, y'all.
That's why a lot of niggas getting set up, because they talk too much.
Hmm. Yeah. It's like, for real.
Uh-oh.
That's exactly what be happening.
He said, uh-oh. Where's Miss Tony at? Miss Tony, come out the woodwork.
I'm here.
What you got to say about this wonderful topic? Because, you know, Tony been married for 20-something years. So Tony is like our...
22 years.
Yeah, she's our expert on the show.
Months.
You know what I'm saying? We'd like to come over here and see what she has to say about these shenanigans. What's going on, Miss Tony? Because she stays quiet. She be taking notes and try to size all this stuff up.
You're absolutely right. I have 2 pages of notes sitting here.
So tell us how you feel about this.
I don't believe the side chicks are winning, first of all. Now, they get spoken from a wife of 22 years, Stevie.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
22 years and 4 months. By the way, I'm BB, everyone, who wasn't here at the beginning of the show.
Go ahead,
tell me. Oh, man. But, people, I said, but if you're saying the wife isn't doing her job and the side chick isn't doing her job, how can you have a wife that's doing her job and still there's a side chick in the picture?
Hold on, let me get this one, Nene.
That's where it went left
for Tony. She was really with me up until that point.
Yeah.
Like, if I'd have never threw that, the wife ain't doing her job shit in there.
Oh, you'd have been good.
She would have been with me.
I've been taking notes.
But as soon as I said the wife ain't doing her job, and see, let me tell you something, Miss Tony, this real talk. And I know you've been married 22 years, and I know your relationship is nothing like none of these relationships we're talking about right now. Not that these relationships are dysfunctional. They're just truthful shit. Like, but the thing is, right,
uh-huh.
When I say the wife ain't doing her job, it may not be sexually. Men are like boys still, man. Like, you get ask any mother with a son. Sons be need requiring that extra attention. So when this guy, you could have the perfect thing going on, but if he gets distracted and he feels like he needs something else, that's when the side chick may come and play. It may not be him being disloyal to you in the sense of trying to be disloyal. It's just him being a selfish ass man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just as simple as that. It's not a play against you. You're not doing your job. You're doing everything perfect. The food is right. The sex is right. The house is right. Everything is perfect. It's just a distraction that you allowed to slip in, a slither of light. That's what creates a side chick, just a slither of light.
Okay. But you know what? I think sometimes.
Wait, Alicia. Tony got a question. Wait, go ahead.
No.
Go ahead, Tony. Wait, hold that, Alicia.
Okay, you're doing all your wifely things during the week, and then come the weekend, can't a wife turn into that side chick that you're describing?
Hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
She could put
and
on a wig.
Hopefully you don't wore his ass out Saturday through Sunday, so Monday through Friday, he just can't wait to get to the weekend again. However, if you have not wore his ass out and that slither gets in Monday through Friday, he may have to put an extra 4 hours in on the dock. I'm not talking about your situation, Miss Tony. I'm just saying, generally, that's how the side chick shit starts. Because there's no way a happily married man or a happy man in a relationship is going to even entertain. Because a man that knows what he has, he holds that shit dead. Like, he already sizing up what he's going to do. Like, I'm not going to do this dumb shit right here. Me and my girl already got this. Like, you think about the fuck this shit up for this? They already, don't think men are that dumb. They really not. Like, they already sizing it up. You know what I mean? So it's when that, like I said, it's that slither of light. You already, it has to be a distraction. That's why I always be telling people it's important to pay attention to your mate. You have to know when the temperature in the room changes for them. Even though it's 77, you have to be able to see, like, yo, my baby at 76 right now. You have to, for real, because you have to keep that temperature steady between y'all. And if you don't recognize that, then that's slither of light. And that's when the side chick comes in. A wife who has that combination and knows that temperature all the time, she ain't got nothing to worry about. There's definitely women out there who ain't even got worried nothing about the side chick. and leave the side chick in their house downstairs butt ass naked on the living room floor like, yeah, I'm going to work, my husband upstairs, don't worry about anything in the fridge. He good upstairs, don't worry about nothing. And be straight at work. Because they uh-huh. know. But then uh-huh. it's motherfuckers that, you know, like it's have let that slither of light come in. They don't really know their partner. They haven't really, they've been laying next to this person and that's just it. Like we've been laying next to each other.
But,
you know what I mean? Like that shit is,
really,
you got to have that connection.
I don't really agree, only because it still falls on the man. You see what I'm saying? And there are a lot of men.
Somebody to blame, and you ain't even peeped what I said about the temperature.
There are, I'm saying that. There are a lot of males. I ain't going to even say men. There are a lot of males that can't even stand on their own 2 feet, where they got to have somebody to lean on in certain situations, maybe because they've never been in the position to stand on their own 2 feet, or nobody's ever taught them. It doesn't, when you're married,
no,
I'm only going to say
like
married.
That too. What are you talking
loyalty
about?
Loyalty comes, but to me, loyalty comes in
me?
First, before temptation. To me, loyalty comes before temptation. Don't matter what temptation's doing. If you are loyal to this person right here, don't matter what they doing. You ain't doing nothing and you ain't going nowhere. To me,
but
loyalty,
I'm from here, Lisa, you gotta be loyal. You gotta be loyal to yourself first. So
yeah.
You can't expect a person to be loyal to anybody before they be loyal to themselves. And a lot of times what bothers me about married people is that they think that marriage is some type of blinding, deafening situation. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm married does not say that I don't see things I like. Because I'm married don't mean I don't hear something I like. And because you're married don't mean you don't feel something that feels
mm-hmm.
good to you. And regardless
mm-hmm.
to the fact that how much you communicate with your man or your man communicate with you, everybody can't fulfill every last thing that a person likes, wants, or needs. I don't give a darn how good you do your job. You can cook every meal in the world. It does not mean that you're going to always cook a meal that's always satisfying to him. You can ride it just as good as you think you riding it, but that don't mean you always hitting the spot that's satisfying to him. So you can't say that because a person is married, they being disloyal because, I mean, you're a married woman, but you cannot tell me that you don't see a man that's attracted to you. You're a married woman, but you cannot tell me that it's not a characteristic in a man that turns you on. That's not your man, because your man don't have everything that you like in a man. He has things that you like in a man. He has things that you love in a man. But because he cannot personify every last fantasy in your mind, it is something out there that you are still attracted to and that you still want. You may not act on it, but being married does not make you blind, deaf, or dumb. And it does not dull your senses to things that you like or want, even if you get, and when you might not get them. You might not get everything from your husband that you want, but you hang in there. So I hate to hear when women who are married make it seem like if a man has a fantasy or he has something he wants or he longs for, that he's being disloyal or dishonest. When women sit around with the same nasty, dirty thoughts as men do, some act on it and some don't. But being married does not make you blind, deaf, or dumb. Aaron?
Yeah. And another thing, Lisa, let me tell you something about your little thing that you said. We're going to get back to the point of this. And that was wonderful, Nene. I'm glad a woman said that, because if I had said it, it had just got the shotguns out. But I'm going to tell you, like, for real, I'm going to tell you, though, like, let me tell you something. The sugar daddy always came before the prostitute, or there would have been no person to see that there was business there, okay? So don't think you, like, you keep saying it's the man, the man, the man, the man. Yo, but men been...
He don't have a choice?
Been,
oh,
no.
No, he don't
listen,
have a choice.
Missing,
it's not a choice
my,
to cheat or not.
No, you're missing my
it's
point. What I'm
choice.
Saying is, what? cheating is a definite choice. Just like paying, not paying attention to your mate. Just like not paying attention to your mate is a choice. You could choose to be like not paying attention and miss the signs and see when he's disgruntled or she's disgruntled or when things are not right and the temperatures change or the lovemaking ain't the same. You can... That's a choice. You can pretend and keep going through your day daily like everything is still the same because he's not saying nothing, and then you'll find
you're
out 6 months later
right,
there's a side chick
that
he was talking to.
You guys are not on the same place. Y'all not on the same page. That means when a relationship evolves, you're supposed to take a pulse check all the time in your relationship. You're supposed to check the pulse and the climate of your relationship to see if it has changed, where it has changed. You just don't keep going.
And when do you do that?
But the choice to step
yeah,
out.
When do you do that?
When does that happen?
I do it
when does that happen? It's
huh?
impossible for you to know everything that your husband is thinking and feeling, Lisa.
But if
impossible.
You ask him,
impossible.
If you ask him, just like Aaron always says, if you lay down next to somebody and you can't tell that person how you feel, that's a problem all in itself.
Yeah,
but if you
yeah,
laying
problem.
Down next to that person and you asking them how they feel, they're comfortable. They should be comfortable to say, well, baby, this is how I feel about this and this, that, and I don't care what it is.
And people
okay,
will
so
lay right next to you and lie.
Exactly.
Choice.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
People will
you
lay right next
right
to you and lie,
it.
Yo.
It's
right next to you.
Exactly.
Because they love you. It's either because they love you or they just really just want to keep fucking lying. It's one or the other. It don't even matter what the reason is. People will lay next to you and lie. You have to be able to. That's why I said, I'm going back to my temperature thing. That's why I said you have to know when your mate has gone from 77 to 76, you have to be that sure. You have to be. Because if you're not, you just laying there. Like some people really be married and living a life, and they really live an ordinary life, meaning they already have it figured out as a routine as to what's going to happen or where their mate's going to be at this time or what this and that and the third happened. They already have it figured out. Because their lives have become comfortable and snug. It's almost like this is supposed to happen. So if they don't hear from their mate at 9 o'clock, and they know that their mate calls them every day at 9, and now it's fucking 12:30 at night. They're not going to be thinking nothing other than something happened. You know what I mean? Because they've come snug into that. Not that, yo, this guy needed a damn break. Like, yo, what if he needed a break? He ain't been sleeping. He ain't been sleeping good the last 3 nights either. He been waking up, going to the bathroom at odd times. That's how well you have to know your mate. When I'm sleeping next to a person, I know when they be get up, I be like, yo, you don't even be going to the bathroom like that. What's been going on with you for the last couple of days? You've been getting up at this time. And they be like, oh, yeah, well, no. Nah. Yeah, I'll be dead ass serious. Like, I'm not playing.
Aaron, I think you might have a friend. I think you might have a friend alive. I think that one of our beloved guests has just walked into the clubhouse is Damien on the line.
I don't know.
Yeah, how y'all doing, man?
Hey,
oh,
what's going
man,
on, brother?
I was about to come over to your house and pick you up, but I had to be here, so I couldn't leave.
Right.
I was going to swing by there and pick you up. What's going on? How are you, Mr. Damien King? Welcome to the clubhouse.
I'm good. How is everybody?
Oh man, we're trying to maintain.
Hello.
They over here going. They got it cropped. We got Raquel in here. She got it started. She done started everybody off. Now we over here. We got Tony, Miss Tony and Miss Misha, our two married council in the clubhouse. They about to kill all side chicks.
They about to jump the hell out of me. Me and Tony was good. We was good for a minute. She was like, yeah, I agree. Then I said, the wife ain't doing her job. She said, oh, hell. But like, what? That Nene like, yo, tell this nigga I got some shit I need to say real quick.
Is that right?
So how you feel, Damon? How you feel? We talking about 10 toes down. Well, you know, the bottom bitch, we talking about the difference in the dynamic of dudes really being down and the difference with, you know, women really being, you know, that bottom, holding it down, you know, regardless. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that's mandatory. Loyalty is first.
Mm-hmm.
So without loyalty, you have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ain't
okay, now what I said?
Lisa.
Who said that?
That Lisa said it, but we ain't going to let Lisa get no cool points until Damon gets finished. Let's let Damon get finished, and then we'll let Lisa say a thing or two. Go ahead, Damon.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel that loyalty is that's the foundation. You know, it's about loyalty and sacrifices. You know, if we always going to be there for one another on whatever level, then that's what it has to be. That's what it must remain under any circumstances all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so let me ask you something. You know, you're saying loyalty or whatever, but in being loyal to yourself first and your appetite switch, but it ain't changed. It may have switched a little bit, and you know, you definitely still loyal to her. You're not disrespecting, you know, wifey. You're making sure she's straight, but your appetite has switched. But you being loyal to yourself because your appetite switched. You trying to be loyal to you first. You know, what's the difference in that? Like, okay, I might need a little something on the side.
I mean, I feel like this. I have to be true to myself first before I can be true to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So if it came to that situation, then we would have a sit down and discuss the situation like some grown people and move accordingly.
Okay. Okay. So but you're concerned about her you know, her feelings, her emotions. You don't wanna, you know what I'm saying, you don't wanna let her down. You don't wanna hurt her. She done been through enough. So, you know what I'm saying, you keep her over here, but you know what I'm saying, you need your other things on the side that handles other pieces of you.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say I need some on the side, because if she's doing what she's supposed to do, then what a side chick going to do?
I don't know. So we're trying to find out right now.
He just wanted to support Alicia Tony and his girl. His girl sitting right in the room like, say some crazy shit, that girl. Say some motherfucking crazy shit.
I'm just,
like, if this
I'm
better
just
be the radio
saying,
show,
be
this
able
better
to
be the radio show you're calling into.
No, Damon, me and Damon are going to have a conversation. Damon done came in here and pulled out his handbook. No, Lisa, you done said one thing too many, and Damon came in here, he had his hymn book out, he got the choir, they sing in the background. Where's Montel when I need her? Cause this is getting out of control.
I'm right here. Y'all are so good.
All everybody on Facebook going to be sending him all this little love mail and stuff. They're going to be like, oh, he's so sweet. He's so special.
I know,
you
know, right? That ain't a real Damien. That ain't him. Hell no.
That's okay, Damon. Go ahead. I got your back. Go ahead. I got your back.
Man. I don't know who he's sitting with. I don't know if it's the wifey or the side chick, but somebody's sitting right there. Like, go ahead and say some crazy shit.
Don't put him on the hot seat like that.
That's why he was late calling in. He was like, yo, I'm telling you I got something to do. She said, no, let me see your phone. Let me see.
This ain't to show you what to talk on.
But you know what, though?
Calling into a show.
You know what, though? Just being real, that's how it is in my world, though. You know, I lay all the cards on the table. That way you know what you're dealing with before you deal with it. So later on down the road, I ain't got to worry about the way I ain't know this. Because you do from the top.
So what you do is you sit her down and you tell her, look, baby, I love the way you make that macaroni and cheese. You know what I'm saying? That them back shots is all that. But I'm going to be at Keisha's house on Wednesday and Friday because she got something else that she do that I like that you don't do. It's okay. I'm not dissing you. You're fine. But I'm just letting you know. If you don't see me on Wednesday and Thursday, I'm down to Keisha's. That's how you doing, Davis?
At the end of the day, you know, her looks have nothing to do with it. So it's about her potential. So
okay.
If we can blend our energy in a positive and beneficial way outside of what I got going on with whoever, then let's make it happen.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
See, Damon don't have no problem with his side chick coming down to his wife's house, scratching up her car and busting her windows. I already know. It's not happening. It is not happening at his house.
Look, we ain't gonna play them. We ain't gonna play them type of games.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Damon, You is my man. Do you hear me? Me and
you
wrong.
Baby
don't play. He'll play while he's making up his shoes at the side chick house. He already let her know. Look, now I done talk to you.
It's
now
not
you come
just,
over here.
It's
don't
not
be a problem.
It's not just personal with me. It's mm-hmm. always business first.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. What is your name? What's your full name? They take the ass up
too much.
Damon got here late, so he's going to get it all. You about to get it all, Damon. You about to get it all.
I love y'all's show, though. Y'all be getting down.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But Damon, give us a little bit of heat that comes out your corner. You got these books out. You got these concepts. Tell us about the hottest book that you have written to date and how you were able to create that concept.
Run that by me one more time.
The hottest book you got out right now, and how did you come up with that concept?
Came up with going corporate. I was in prison.
Okay.
And I started writing because I saw other guys getting books published and starting their own companies around me. So I thought, why not use it as a way to escape the streets? So
okay.
I moved accordingly. And, of course, going corporate is about guys in the streets doing what they do, going to prison and coming home, going legit and taking their circle legit with them, trying to show them that there's other means of survival other than what they're participating in.
Okay. That's what's up. So now what you're talking about coming, you know, through that process of, you know, being behind, you know, those walls, and we're talking about those 10 toes down, you know, being in it, you know, and doing your time, you know, owning it and, you know, trying to come back out on these streets. You know, how do you feel? You feel like that concept has changed as you watch, you know, the dynamic of men coming and going inside the in and out of the prison, you know, in there for different, you know, types of reasons. Do you feel like that dynamic has changed? Are dudes still 10 toes down?
I'm going to say this. I think right now, statistically, we're losing as far as our return visits back to the penitentiary as black
mm-hmm.
men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because while we're incarcerated, there is no
mm-hmm.
guidance, there is no education. So the same
mm-hmm.
things that we were doing out here on the streets before we went, when we get
mm-hmm.
there, we're continuing to do those things, non-beneficial and destructive activities. So when
mm-hmm.
we come home, we have nothing new that we've learned to even put in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's back to the basics. So that's what my thing was. That's what I wanted to change. When I came home, I was going to use this as my escape from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn something new in order to move forward. You can't be who you used to be and who you're trying to be at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So it's about making a transition.
Okay. Now, Aaron, ring in on that, you know, as another, you know, man who has gone through, you know, those processes, and I've been behind that wall. Weigh in on that.
I just think that really it's just a total transition. You know what I mean? As far as people going into prison now, and the way prison's being ran like a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the individuals that are being sent there are young. They're not, you know, they haven't even really lived any life, had any experiences. They're coming from a buck the world type, you know, system, and it's just crazy. Like,
well, let me ask you that, since you both, not to cut you off, but you both are speaking about something that is definitely prevalent, even in the conversation that we're having right now. Case in point, you say the fact that darn near 90% of most men in the urban area have been, you know, behind the wall or, you know, suffered a small amount of time. And anytime you behind that wall, you are outside of society, outside of the norm, outside of practice. Do you think that, you know, being locked up and being away from a woman gives you certain, like, liabilities in your character and being loyal to a woman, or, you know what I'm saying, like, having that disconnect for periods of time. You got some men who've been locked up 8, 9, 10, 20 years, then you say come out and have an honest relationship, you know, with a woman, like, you haven't had that practice. Do you think that that is causing a disconnect between women and men?
I do. I mean, like, if a person doesn't know, you know, about a relationship and hasn't had any experience or, you know, any real true experience on how a relationship begins and evolves and becomes anything, you know, that's meaningful, then, yeah, of course, it's going to be dysfunctional.
How you feel, Damon, about that?
Well, it has to be, I really do agree, man.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah, I think that has a big part on it, you know, and even the mentality of what you have to go through to be on a jail visit, even if you want to be with your significant other on a jail visit, it's a don't touch, don't this, don't, and then you say, okay, now come home and have a family, you know, get your family back together, have, you know, be with your woman, when you have all these mental distractions, you know, and you have to spend a lot of time cutting feelings off. You can't walk through the prison and all in love around a bunch of dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be able to cut stuff on, cut stuff off, you know what I'm saying? You have to be able to juggle different feelings and emotions, dead a lot of feelings and emotions, you know, so that you can survive, so that you can get through it, you know, and then you're like, okay, and now I'm back in society, and I want to have a woman, I want to have a family, but it's going to be a lot of disconnect in doing that. And I think that, to be honest with you, I think it's part of the plan. I think it's part of the process that they're taking black men through, and they're taking the black woman with them.
It definitely is. Yo, women are even falling out of love with men quicker these days and times. Like, you know, it's crazy, man. But we got,
you know,
some callers.
You know, they falling out of love so fast because, once again, it goes back to there's no loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't do traditional relationships and marriages. They have no meaning. They are premeditated for the wrong reason, and they don't last long.
I
think
it's solid.
Tony got something to say.
I think it's Mr. Damian King. This is Tony. Welcome to the clubhouse. I'm going to say that right off the bat. But traditional marriages, they do work. I just want to throw that out there.
But you know
Hold up. Tell him how long you've been married, Tony, so he know.
Okay, Damian, I have been married September 19th. It'll be 22 years.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
And I applaud that. That's what I meant when I said they don't last long anymore. You don't
that's
find
not
that.
Long.
You
had me till you said that. You had me. I was on your side when you said that.
He exonerated Tony, but you still fall in the category because he said they don't last that long no more. Tony got 22 years. See, you don't have 22 years, so you kind of might fall into the category of what he's talking about. But let's check.
Ain't no such thing.
How far are you going back, Damien? Like, how far would you say?
I mean,
like,
in this era, I'm speaking of this era. In this era,
You think a 10-year marriage is going to last another 10 right now in this day and age?
Nah.
Well, Alicia, you fall into that category. I just want to clear
it
that
depends
up real
on
quick.
The people
it can,
in the
it definitely can.
Because
it depends
you just
on
with
the
him
people
a minute
in the
ago.
Marriage and the work they're willing to do.
Exactly.
It's work.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, look
work.
At what you're dealing with.
I know that's right.
Wait, go ahead,
just don't roll in your lap.
Hold on, Alicia. Let's guess go.
Okay.
Go ahead, Damon.
I was just saying, look at what you're dealing with these days. Everybody is focused on self, if not everybody, majority of everybody. So nobody's really concerned. That's why you have so many single mothers out here, because the dudes that they're dealing with,
they doing what they doing. They running the streets, clubbing. The little money that they do have are making, they blowing somewhere else where they got somewhere else, something else going on. So, of course it's going to be like that. You have nothing. You have nothing to chase. There is nothing to offer. They have nothing to offer.
I don't know about that. You have me see.
We're going to take that caller.
I don't
know. Wait. Hold that thought, Alicia. Aaron, bring in that 832 right quick. Let's see what that caller got to say.
832-245. Good evening. You are live with the Right and Royalty crew. Rocktel Williams and Damian King. Who are we speaking with?
Speaking with Big Tone right here.
Big Tone.
Hello.
What's good? How are you?
All right. What's going on, Big Tone? This is Nene Capri. What you got for us in the clubhouse tonight? You want to weigh in?
Yeah. Listen, and the thing I can pretty much say about it all is what it boils down to is, you know what, it's moral conviction. Like, because, man, we can't get through to our women. We can't get through to our children if we run in the street, if we not being there with them. If we doing everything under the sun besides being a father and a husband, you know, what we display and what we put out is what they see. So that's what leads, you know, the generation, of, you know, for it to be a domino effect. That, you know, that son is going to do the same thing his father did. That daughter is going to do what she saw her mother do.
That's right.
Us being men. You know, we got to stand up and take our place, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to stop mediating and accepting bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Like, with the kids now, you look at it, and I have nothing against, though, you know, the homosexuals, but I'm just saying, for example, they have made it cool for them to exist, you know, out in public. Okay, so that's basically telling somebody's 13-year-old son that it's cool for him to walk around with another boy's hand in his hand. What type of shit is that?
Right.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And telling somebody's daughter, you know, you can go chill it out at this little girl house, spend the night, do anything under the sun. No. Time for it. If we want to take it back, this is what we got to do. Stay our asses about them clubs. Quit trying to get there before 9 o'clock. Make sure them kids doing their homework. Make sure they clothes ready the next morning. Make sure they going to school. Whenever something happens, you need to be there. From an activity to the principal calling. Let's stop making bullshit excuses and do what we have to do.
So I think what you're saying is what a lot of people are saying about the moral fiber breaking down. You know, having certain ethics, certain codes, and certain rules. I think that if you stop following, like you said, if you stop following certain codes and rules on a general level, then other things become easier to do. Is that what you're saying? Like, until you're able to get the structure, the family structure, and what's happening with the children and things like that, you're going to continue to have, you know, those other things going on?
No, what I'm saying is, I'm to that degree. That plays along with it, but you know what? It starts with you. It starts with your foundation. If you're the head of the household, you can't lead everybody into the gates of hell. You can't you know, it can't be the blind leading the blind. So you got you have to be able to differentiate bullshit from real life. So if you go left, and you know it's 10 dudes hustling. You got prostitutes over there. You got junkies over there. Then 9 times out of 10, you go over there enough, people become products of their environment. But I was raised. My father died when I was young. But you know, although he was there in my life for the better part of my life, I didn't have a father. I didn't have a father figure. My brothers were my father figure. So what they taught me, I applied that to my life. But yet and still, I didn't go out and rob. I didn't go out and sell drugs, although all of them did. So at a certain point, it becomes about the individual. You can't blame it on the parents after you become old and wise enough to make your own decisions. But you make your structure straight. and you have decent morals and values in you, it can't help but come out.
Okay. All right, I hear you, and I agree. I think that we are becoming morally bankrupt. We thank you for that, and we thank you for calling in, and we thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate your input.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Yes.
And you can enjoy the show.
Yeah, we got another. We had another caller. I got to say, dipped. Oh no, we got another caller right here. You checked this 404-437. Good evening. You are live with the Right and Royalty Crew. Raquel Williams and Damian King. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How y'all doing? I'm loving your show.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Hello. I'm calling in.
Would you like to weigh in?
Say what?
I said, would you like to weigh in on the subject, or you just calling in to shout out the author?
No. Both. Y'all was talking about, I heard one guy mention that it's difficult for traditional relationships to make it, especially being that you've endured the mental strains of incarceration. I myself went through a long period of incarceration from a child, basically. I was 18 to
33.
The biggest thing I think that fails relationships is dedication. People forget that it's a choice you make. A lot of people forget that life is a cycle. It lives and dies and comes again. Same thing exists in relationships. Just because it's raining right now don't mean that the sun won't come back out tomorrow.
Okay.
I met my wife and married her before ever going into the things that are traditional. I never had sex with her before I married her because that's what I wanted. I wanted something that was ideal. I wanted to give myself a fighting chance, and the only way you do that is to go into it wholesomely.
Okay.
And that's a battle in itself. Like, this is my first relationship, and I intend for it to be the only relationship. So I go in with that. The same way I was dedicated when I was in the street, I'd be dedicated in this.
Okay.
I love my wife.
Let me ask you
something. Shit to work.
I know that's right. Were you faced with a lot of challenges, you know, having that long period of time of, you know, never really having, never having a relationship, you know, not knowing what it's like to come and lay, you know, with a woman every night and be in the house and provide and things like that?
Oh, no. Hey, listen, I did all that shit.
Okay.
I was just never committed in a relationship. It's like, these are my little buddies, you know what I mean?
Okay. That's what you're saying.
I practiced. To actually be in a relationship is more than just saying, hey, you're my girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend type of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To maintain dedicated in your choice. And y'all were speaking earlier about selfishness. Life in itself, I mean, everybody's selfish. They're taking another line.
I know that's right.
Yeah. That's what I've been trying to say, brother.
It's the first law of nature.
That's what I've been trying to say. Selfishness will overwhelm a ring finger.
You can't fight it. You can't fight it. You can't say anything you do because I want. You fall in love with her, you love her, you show dedication to her because you want her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That person
like
got
it. It's not like you're doing it for her. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like anybody else going to feel your love other than you. You have kids, you love them to death, they can never feel it. They receive benefits from it. That's about it. You do things because you love them. You don't do it because you love them.
Did you want to leave your name with us?
Yeah, my name is Carlo.
Okay. We thank you, Carlo.
Hello, that's the mister.
That's the mister?
Yeah, that's my wife.
Okay.
Okay, that's why he called in, like, yo.
Now, this is really how I live, man. This is really my choice. Like, when I met her, I told her the first day, like, listen, man, I want to marry you.
Mm.
And she was like, get the hell out of here. I'm like, seriously, no bullshit. This is what I want. Let me explain it to you.
That's what's up.
That's what I'm talking about. See?
And you know what? We know it's real because we don't really get too many husband wives that be supporting.
No, we don't.
You like the first husband to call in when a wife's been on here, so.
Most dudes just can't deal with another dude being around his lady. It doesn't bother me. I trust mine. And I wear a big shoe. I do what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
Okay,
all right.
Up.
Thank you for calling.
Well, you go ahead, Mr. Williams.
Look,
that's what I'm talking
look,
about.
Raquel pushing you off the phone. You heard that, right? What's up with this? Thank you for calling in.
All right. Thank y'all, man. Y'all enjoy.
Yes,
yes sir.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye, baby.
We got another caller. Oh. The 864-450. You are live with the Writing Royalty crew, Raquel Williams and Damian King. Who are we speaking with?
This is Ashley Nicole. What's up, everybody?
Ashley Nicole.
Hey.
Hey.
What's
good? LPD.
Hey. I was just calling to show my support. I was already over there going in. I'm actually going here, y'all talk. But I just wanted to call and show my support. That's all.
All
well,
right.
We
appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Hi.
We have new authors to the literary game. We'll be looking for her pen coming, bossing up. Be ready to get that out of lockdown publishing. The author.
Yeah, I'm working now.
Okay, that's the stuff. Keep that work going. That's what it's about. Definitely.
I am.
Making your debut.
Yes.
All right. Well, y'all enjoy. Thank you. All right.
Thank
you. You're welcome. Let me grab this 937-313. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty crew, Raquel Williams and Damian King. Who are we speaking with?
Stacey Johnson Leonard.
Hey, Stacey. Hey, Stacey.
Hi, family. I miss y'all.
What's going
hey,
on?
Hey, hi, Mr. Damian King and Ms. Raquel Williams.
Hello.
I'm calling in as a married, newlywed. I'm in that, I guess Mr. King said, if you ain't been married within 10 years.
Yeah, you ain't make the 11-year club. You ain't make the 11-year club yet.
I don't know about that because I told my husband, I said, this should definitely work for, I told him. This should definitely work for her. So unless you come home and say, baby, I think I might drop dead in a little bit. Ain't no getting out of this.
That's what I'm
saying. It ain't no getting out of this. He chased me for a year. Ain't no getting out of this. Chased me for a year. We were together for 7 years before we got married. Ain't no getting out of this. But
that's
I think one of the biggest things, though, is like when you first starting in a relationship, you have to teach people how to treat you. If you teach people how to treat you, you cannot be upset if, you know, later on he calling you all types of names or later on she always got her hand out, you know, and never contributing to the relationship in no way, whether it's financial, you know, or emotional. You have to really teach people how to treat you.
I agree with that.
With that being said, he had to chase for a whole year, and he continues to chase. Like, he got me, but we have to make sure you do the same way that you got the person. You have to do it to keep them. We're newlyweds. It'll be 2 years in July. We still date each other. We still go on date nights. You know, if he say, baby, I want you to have on a wig this weekend and be somebody else. Okay, I can. Who I need to be? Give me a name.
What kind of wig?
I got a hot fire red one. If we need to go out and get another one. Okay, well, let's go to the store before we go home and get another weekend. Get another wig so for this weekend we're going to be cool. And it's vice versa. If I say, you know, babe, I want you to, you know, I might tell him, you know, be Mr. Muscle Man, you know, put on a vice beater and, you know, show me your biceps, you know. Hey, that's what you going to do. But you have to keep
they got it.
Yeah, you got to keep it going. But I love that I miss y'all. I had to call in and chime in.
Thank you, Precious.
Thank you so much.
We love you, love you, love you. Please enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we're gonna have Damon and Raquel go ahead and give us what they have coming up. If they have any shows or any book signings coming, we want to hear about that so our readers can one click or come see them. Go ahead, Damon. You can go first.
Well, at this time, I'm
reviving, going corporate. Mm-hmm. So it will be coming soon, probably in about the next 30 days.
Okay. Okay. That's what's up. And Ms. Roxelle, what do you have coming out of your corner next?
Okay, I have my husband's horror coming out next month. I have Bottom Bitch 3 coming and Sugar Pussy coming.
Cool.
I will be at the Harlem Book Fair next month. So
okay.
Any one of my readers want to come out, I'll be there selling my books and signing books and just meeting my readers and other authors. That's about it for now.
All right.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's right. Y'all get ready to one click. We got a few readers reading your book from the books you gave away when you came on here last week. We appreciate that so much. Both of you, please, if you have anything new coming out your corner, make sure you let us know. Any authors or anybody you're publishing, let us know. Leisha has the hot Fridays that she tries to put the new authors on to get exposure to them. So, you know, let us know anytime. And we definitely thank you for coming and gracing the clubhouse. I have had a total ball. I enjoyed myself.
I'm in New York, Nene.
I can't help myself. I'm sorry. They pay me to do this. Like, I be coming. I'm like, I'm just going to be nice and come on the show. They're like, no, Nene, you got to say the other stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? They pay me to do that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And next time I'm going to go pick Damon up because I didn't know Damon didn't have a ride to the studio. I definitely would have picked you up. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know what? Show my plate full. My plate full. How's that going on over there?
Well, thank you guys for having me. Trust me. I enjoy myself.
I enjoy myself this week again. Yeah, thank you for coming through.
Show.
Like, we appreciate it.
Yeah,
and Nene, I'll see you in New York next month.
Yes, I'll see you, and I'll be down in the A very, very soon. So, Damon, I'll be seeing you somewhere. We got to do some events together.
That's right, I'm out here too,
so you can hit me up too when you come out here.
Oh, shoot, it's about to go down. We're going to burn Georgia to the ground. It ain't ready.
That's right.
They're not ready. We're going to get our Caribbean spirit going. Me and Raquel, we about to turn it upside down.
Girl, I'm telling you.
I know, that's right. I want some jerk chicken.
Nene, just let me know when you come, and trust me, it's going to be on.
I'm going to be letting you know. I'm going to be about to move down there, so I'm getting ready to creep up on them. I don't think they're ready. Yeah, how's your kids?
I'm
how's your wife?
I'm coming to visit, Miss Raquel.
Come on, I cook you Jamaican food every day. Let's go.
Right, I'm going to take my bags to Nene's house, and I'll be like, it's time for us to go to Mr. Williams' house. We got to go, Nene, let's go.
You got to go over to the married people house, because I don't want you to run into my side, nigga. Anyway, Erin, you go ahead and drop that beat. We love y'all. Thank you,
big blunts with big chunks of hash. When I score with a horse, she be game for sure. Pimp so hard, a nigga drag his mink on the floor. Won't you admit it? I ain't gotta talk because I live it. Any chick fucking with me, believe me, that's a privilege. I won't be satisfied till all my niggas get it. See, you hit it, then I hit it. We get it back to split. And Big be that nigga with me flying through your hood. Hood rats coping with their eyes on my good. See, we date them like we hate them. See them like we don't need them. Treat them like we meet them. And never give them freedom. And we only give our number to select a few. And it's best that you never knew what good head to do. Turn a freak to a bisexual. And if she's flexible, fuck the nigga next to you. The world is filled with pimps and hoes. We'll just talk about those I know. Oh, yeah. Oh, play on, player. You know. Play on.
I'm just trying to be all I can be.
And the Remy's in the system. Ain't no telling. Will I fuck him, will I diss him? That's what these hoes yelling. I'm a pimp by blood, not relay Sean. Y'all still chase on, I'll replay songs, drunk off dawn. Silk and gators, spitting words, make a bird tell they flock. See you later, whether drunk or high, skunk or tie. Nigga play against the player, shit, slugs gon' fly. Ain't gon' lie, pimp out the SSI. Nigga don't ask why, just respect it. She bought me the necklace, the bracelet, the benzo, she laced it. Cribbo got it, interior decorated. Now my popularity grew in each state. Now I got two in each state. Used to drink brew in each state. Now I pop bottles with models, larger stakes on larger stakes.
Oh, the world is filled with pimps and hoes. We'll just talk about those I knows. World is mine, can't you see? I'm just trying to be all I can be.
I had a whole lot of bitches in my lifetime. I've been blessed with the game, always say the right lines. Had a few prostitutes, and if you knew the truth, they're like pimps, you can't let them do it to you. She ain't no sucker, I know that bitch, man. She wanna be a pretty woman, loving a rich man. Now here you come, drop top riding. You ain't no pimp, fake nigga, stop lying. If you make money, stick to the business. Think about the real motherfuckers that live this. Street life, pimp shit, make the whole respect the game. You bought the diamonds and cars, trick, that's a shame. Say what you want, but I still figure. She left because you couldn't be like them real niggas. She was a hustler by nature, and you was just faker than the average shit.
Right.
Found a badder pimp, too sure. Crazy ass man. I never would've bought that bitch all them cars and all that shit. You bought that hoe, man. After I heard about what the bitch did, nigga. You knew the hoe. Man, I'm 30 years old, nigga. And that bitch was home when I was in ninth grade and shit. Think about that, nigga. That's where I'm from, right? Shit. You're just a red tape for hoes, man. You're just the first nigga that came along when the bitch got out the pen. Bitch only fuck with you because you had a good-ass job, nigga. Bitch better than anybody ever treated her. Stupid ass nigga. She ain't nothing but a hoe. And you
make
love her. You fell in love with her, man. That nigga crazy. You can't turn a hoe into a housewife, fool. Every time you turn your back, nigga, that bitch was fucking with them gangsters. East side, west side, nigga, my partner hitting that shit. You know what I'm talking about, nigga. I tell you about some real pimps and hoes. I know a few. Shit. Bitch.